What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
All right, here we go, John. There are terrible injuries all over the NFL. Yesterday alone, Nick Bosa from the Niners, Saquon Barkley from the Giants, both suffered torn ACLs. Statistics show that through 2 weeks, the NFL has recorded twice as many significant injuries as last year. It's actually at least six players suffered a torn ACL, including just recently Seattle Seahawks linebacker Bruce Irvin. 11 injuries to starters in the 1 o'clock games alone. John, do you think these injuries have something to do with the fact that there were no preseason games?
Well, for example, the Rams don't play any of their starters in preseason games. I think it is, in the spirit of your question, I think it has something to do with no camp. No real camp. You know, they kind of shotgun training camp. And I don't know how you could make the opposite argument that it has nothing to do with it. I wouldn't tie it to preseason games, but I would do it to the fact that there was very little tackling.
Yes.
Before the game started. And the other thing is, I know Kyle Shanahan of the Niners felt like the field wasn't ready. Like the field, I think he played in the Meadowlands, and he's got to play there again next week. Because he played the Jets, and now he's going to play the Giants. And like, players on both teams were going down. So I don't necessarily think that the facilities were 100% prepared either. I think the spirit of your question is the fact that they fast-tracked everything and started the season because of COVID, is that having anything to do with the injuries? I don't know how you could say it doesn't. I think it has to.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, between training camp and preseason games, where guys at least get a sense for what – they get a reminder of what getting hit is like, I think they would be better off. It is an extraordinary number of injuries, and none worse than Christian McCaffrey, who's gone for 4 to 6 weeks and is the stalwart of my fantasy team, which just lost
well,
to John Ireland.
How about – yeah, I cleaned your clock. Thank you, Matt Ryan. But
Matt Ryan,
but how about Saquon out for the year?
Yeah,
Saquon Barkley out for the year.
Nick Bosa gone for the year.
With a torn ACL. And that means the Giants, it might be a race between the Giants and the Jets who the worst team in football is. You know, the whole New York City area has two just garbage football teams now because the Jets are a mess, and now the Giants have no running game. So it's going to have after effects, all these injuries,
yeah.
That's for sure.
All right, it's to you.
All right, Mace, a couple of weeks ago you thought that Fernando Tatis of the Padres had the inside track to the National League MVP just ahead of Mookie Betts. Our friend Jerry Harrison from Sportsnet LA made the case for Betts over the weekend. Here's his argument. Betts leads all of Major League Baseball in WAR, leads the National League in home runs as a leadoff hitter, and is the best defensive right fielder in a sport while leading the Dodgers to the best record. Now, Betts and Tatis are basically tied in both slugging and on-base percentage, and both are having monster years. If these guys stay the same statistically, will the facts that the Dodgers have the best record and that Betts is elite defensively put him over the top, or do you still like Tatis?
You know, I think I now tilt toward Mookie Betts.
I do too.
Tatis has tailed off a little bit. He's batting .278 now. 15 homers, 41 RBIs, whereas Mookie Betts is still hitting .300 with 16 homers and 39 RBIs. I think Mookie Betts is now officially the guy in the National League over Fernando Tatis Jr. You agree?
Yeah, and only a week to go, so I don't think it's going to change a lot. So let's see how – if the Padres were to catch the Dodgers, I think that may put Tatis back in front, but I don't think that's happening.
No, I don't think that's happening either. All right, it looks like the Dodgers will face either St. Louis, Cincinnati, or Milwaukee in the first round of the playoffs. From those three, who is the toughest opponent and who do you feel most comfortable with facing?
I want nothing to do with Cincinnati because of their pitching. I don't
exactly
want Trevor Bauer anywhere near. Believe it or not, the team I would feel the best about facing as a Dodger fan would be St. Louis, even though St. Louis has a history of sticking it to the Dodgers in the postseason. You were there in person one of those
yep.
years. But I just think if you look at it objectively, Milwaukee has better players. Cincinnati has the best pitching. I would say, in order, I would want to face St. Louis, then Milwaukee, and I at least want to face Cincinnati. How about you?
I'm a little bit different. I think St. Louis has got three. Adam Wainwright's having a really good year. Jack Flaherty is not having a good year, but is still a danger in the postseason. Dakota Hudson has been great, so that's their 1-2-3. Milwaukee goes Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns, co-aces. They really don't have a third starter. And Christian Yelich is having a terrible year. Ryan Braun, not the player he used to be. A team batting .227 collectively. I think Milwaukee is the best opponent, and you're right, Cincinnati is the worst. I do not want to face Trevor Bauer, Luis Castillo, and Sonny Gray in a three-game series. So I would say Cincinnati, the one I don't want to face. Milwaukee, the one I would most want to face.
But any of those opponents would be good. And the Giants were loitering around there for a while.
Yeah, the Giants were hanging around. They were hanging around.
They may drop out, but I think I'll pick the Dodgers no matter who the opponent is, but I'm with you worried about that three-game series because Trevor Bauer comes in and pitches a one-hitter, and then you're in real trouble.
And if it were to stop today, Cincinnati would be the opponent.
Right. All right, it's to me, right?
Yep.
All right, Jeff Darlington, the ESPN NFL reporter, sent out this tweet over the weekend. Quote, "My dad started lifting weights a few years ago and realized he was pretty good at it. Today, at 76 years young, in his first competition, he set the national record for his age class in the deadlift at 315 pounds. How cool is that? Proud of him for even giving it a shot." End quote. It got me to thinking, let's say you could hold the national record in your age class for anything.
Yes.
And you can pick anything you want. What record would you want to hold?
I will say the 400-meter freestyle. The 400-meter freestyle would be my choice of events. I'm a fine swimmer. I can swim forever. I had a bad day when I faced you at Swim for Mike. Swimming, I think, would be the sport that I would choose to compete in. I think I would have a chance in that.
You are a terrible swimmer. I lapped you, and you had a one-piece on, in a full-body one-piece.
I did have a one-piece, yeah.
You look like Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School.
I had a one-piece. It was
that
serious.
That is a terrible choice. You know what I want to be? I want to be the record holder for my age in the mile. You know, because everybody pays attention for how fast you can run a mile.
How fast do you think 50-year-olds run the mile?
If I had to guess, I would say, look this up, Lindsay, but I would have to say the record for 50-year-olds in the mile, I'm going to say 4 minutes 30 seconds. What do you think?
That seems low, man.
It's 4:19.
Oh, it's pretty close.
4:19. You're in the ballpark. Wow, 4:19.
Yeah. I can run 4:19.
What's the best mile you ever ran?
Well, for the Presidential Physical Fitness Medal, you only had to run it in under 6 minutes. So I know I ran it
in 5:10. That was my best time.
And if you couldn't run it under 6 minutes, you were probably just like way overweight or just lazy. Because six minutes is, I mean, you can almost run walk 6 minutes.
Yeah, you can. You can. All right. John Luis Moreno Jr. says he is no longer a part of the Carolina Panthers Spanish language broadcast team because of his support.
Another guy.
For President Donald Trump, the popular radio host has been calling games for the team since 2010, says that the Panthers didn't approve of his open support of POTUS. He says, quote, sometime in April, Moreno Jr. says he retweeted a tweet from his personal Twitter account that he was supportive of Trump's 2020 reelection campaign. Shortly thereafter, he says he was tagged in a tweet along with several Trump reporters. After being contacted by his boss, a Mr. Fiddleman, who runs broadcasting there at
You made
the
that
Carolina
name up,
Panthers.
Right?
It sounds like I did, but it is Fiddleman.
Moreno Jr. runs the broadcast department
yes,
in Carolina?
Yes, he does. Mr. Fiddleman. Moreno Jr. says he continued to create and share posts that were supportive of the president and his 2020 election campaign, also promoting QAnon. Now, instead of having his employer tell him what he can and cannot post, Moreno Jr. has taken a stand. He has resigned, saying he won't allow himself to be censored. Did the Panthers and Moreno Jr. handle this the right way?
Well, you have freedom of expression in this country, but that doesn't mean it doesn't come with a price. If you want to be politically active and use your social media platforms to support one candidate or the other, And that particular candidate, in this case, President Trump, is probably the opposite of the majority of your players.
Right.
Then you're taking a risk. You know, I never tweet political stuff because nope. I'm an employee of the Lakers and I'm an employee of ESPN. And I realize that those are both businesses that want to appeal to all parts of the political spectrum.
Yep.
So I just don't do it. But he made a choice to endorse the president, be politically active, and take a stand. And I don't necessarily think that the Panthers are in the wrong if they want somebody that doesn't take a stand. Does that answer your question? That makes sense?
That does answer the question. I mean, I think the fault is with Moreno Jr., not because he supports the president. I mean,
yeah, you can support whoever you want.
Yeah, you can support your exercising your freedom of speech, your freedom of expression, all that stuff. But you've got an employer, and the employer doesn't want you doing it. What's your rule, John? The hardest thing to do in any job is doing what your boss says.
Yeah, doing what your boss wants, especially when you don't agree with it.
And but Mr. Fiddleman, who runs broadcasting, said, sorry, Moreno Jr., no more tweets about the president, and Moreno Jr. quit. I think probably it's a shame that he had to quit, but it's such a politically toxic environment. And, John, like you said, I do not tweet about politics. I do not tweet about politics. I don't like to talk about politics on the show. It is very divisive. It is very toxic. And I understand why the Carolina Panthers might not want their voice, Spanish language voice, dealing in things like endorsing the president and QAnon and all that business. So, Moreno Jr.,
And again, I you have the right as a private citizen, as a citizen of this country, to express yourself. But there may be consequences. I work with somebody that I won't say who it is for obvious reasons that is super politically active.
Okay.
On social media.
Got it.
Like super politically active. Clearly on one.
A lot of sports writers are, by the way. A lot of sports guys have taken a real stand on their social media.
Every time he tweets and I read it, I pray that our employer will not make a move on him. Mm. And I just, because I like this guy a lot. But if like he applies for another job after this one and they go check his social media and it's somebody that wants to, like, I'll be totally candid. As a host of the Mason and Ireland show, as a broadcaster for the Lakers, we want to appeal to everybody.
Yes.
We want to appeal to men, women, kids, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, what,
Latino, Republican, Democrat, gay, straight, all that stuff.
All of it. And so I don't feel the need to alienate any of those groups.
Yeah, I know.
By taking a political stand. And it just seems that if there's like what happened with the Black Lives Matter movement. And I think in that case, it got so extreme that I support those guys because 80% of our league is black and they're watching people who look like them get victimized day in and day out. I support those guys. I think they have an honest point, but I don't go on Twitter every day and say that. I think that I want to appeal to the broadest audience. And this guy in Carolina obviously didn't care.
Yes.
He wanted to get his viewpoint out, and it probably cost him his gig.
Yeah, it did. It did. I understand both sides. I understand why the Carolina Panthers would want him to stop, and I understand why he would refuse to be
what's weird is
by his employer.
The other guy that got fired, the guy who had the Twitter kerfuffle, was also a Carolina announcer, right?
Right. They're dropping like flies. Mr. Fiddleman is cleaning out. He's cleaning house.
There you go. All right, this is where we have McMenamin coming up, right?
Yeah, McMenamin's coming up next. He is sort of in between the exterior bubble and the interior bubble. I heard him on the Brian Windhorst Hoops Collective podcast. So we will check in with Dave, who will be in game number 3 tomorrow night in the bubble between the Lakers and the Nuggets. Lakers with a 2-0 series lead. Dave McMenamin joining us next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
710 ESPN, Mason, Ireland. What is going on? It is Monday and a giant Monday. Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. The Rams with a blowout win yesterday in Philadelphia. They are now 2-0 in a really tough division. Everybody's 2-0 except the Niners. They are 1-1. Both Arizona and Seattle is 2-0. So the NFC West just as tough as advertised. And, of course, last night in the bubble in Orlando, Anthony Davis drains a three to win the game for the Lakers. They take a 2-0 series lead. And joining us right now from somewhere in between bubbles is Dave McMenamin. Dave, what's going on, man?
You are totally right, guys. I am back in quarantine. The great part about it is that I can taste the getting out and being even closer to the games than I had been for the first 2 months. The bad part was last night was the first time since I've been down in Orlando for over 2 months I wasn't at the arena for the game. And I just,
the
moment of being in there.
Well, you know, what's interesting, too, is we played your piece, your video essay earlier, and it was great.
Yeah, it was great.
I thought you totally nailed it. The fact that you nailed that from outside the bubble is even more impressive. But I wanted to ask you about something you put in that piece. Dave, I want to try and be as rational as possible here. I'm not somebody who's who's necessarily into the afterlife or spirits or touchy-feely or anything. But I get the sense, I honestly sense, that when they wear those Black Mamba uniforms, the spirit of Kobe is in that building. I know it sounds insane. I know I sound like a, you know, one of those guys that's hosting a seance. But I wanted to ask you about it anyway, just because it seems to me, like Frank Vogel in the huddle said in your piece, hey, you guys are all wearing the jersey. You're all shot makers tonight. Have that confidence. Do you sense there is some type of spirit of Kobe that is following this team around?
Yeah, John. And I don't know if it's so much, you know, Kobe having his spirit visit us down here in Orlando, but there are some parallels here that are, quite frankly, eerie. The fact that, you know, Kobe won in Orlando in 2009, his fourth championship, taking out Denver in the conference finals.
Right.
You know, it would be a similar path that LeBron's trying to go down right here. But to me, it's just, Kobe meant so much to all of the guys on this team. Whether it was, you know, Frank Vogel suggesting that Kobe was instrumental in him getting the job. You know, still haven't gotten Frank to tell that full story, but he hinted at it since we've been down here in Orlando. Whether it was Anthony Davis being, you know, barely out of college and having Kobe latch onto him as a mentor on the 2012 Olympic team. Whether it was LeBron being, you know, quite frankly, a rival of his for so many years and not having the closest relationship, but maybe being two of the only individuals to actually understand what it's like to be Kobe Bryant, what it's like to be LeBron James, considering the fishbowl that they lived in. And so, and right on down the line, Quinn Cook, you know, his father was the biggest Lakers fan ever. And Quinn Cook's father died when Quinn was young. And, you know, Kobe became like a surrogate father figure that he looked up to watching on TV. So all these connections make it a very real thing. And I understand the danger or the, I guess, the poor taste it could come off as.
Yeah.
As the Lakers exploiting the memory of Kobe for attention. But to me, this is authentic. I mean, isn't saying Kobe after he makes the shot in order to get more attention. He's doing it because that's what he feels like.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the moment – you know, there have been a couple moments since January 26th where we all felt it. That first game against Portland, obviously, the first time they wore these jerseys in the first round, which was, you know, the game that they played after the protest, and it was a very uneasy time down here. And certainly last night. I mean, this is a part of the Lakers story. This is a part of the story of Los Angeles. This is a part of the NBA season 2019-2020.
Anthony Davis, by the way, the fourth Lakers player to make a game-winning buzzer beater while trailing in team playoff history. So he joins pretty elite company. Last guy to do that was Kobe back in 2006. What does this shot mean to Anthony Davis's relationship to both the Lakers, Laker fans, and the city of Los Angeles?
Yeah, to me, it's, you know, a 27-year-old guy recognizing that his career wasn't going in the direction he wanted it to. And he took a leap of faith, and he, you know, went through a great deal of derision and criticism, basically, over the last season. And, you know, a lot of people are uncomfortable with players trying to take agency over their career and try to get to where they feel like it's something that would benefit them more so than, you know, the original team, just because the team ended up with a lottery ball that they deserve the rights to what this player does, right? But he went through it, and he did it with the motivation not to make more money. You know, he waived a $4 million trade kicker when he came to L.A. He did it to test himself and see if he could be the guy that he thought he could be. And he wasn't going to be able to be that guy with first and second round playoff exits. He needed to be on this stage. And I mean, what a moment it was. And to do it on the same team with LeBron James, because that's the LeBron James moment, you know, I think enhances the story even more so. And you know, Anthony Davis, in my opinion, LeBron James is the best player on the Lakers, and it's not even really close. But Anthony Davis is doing the things right now where you can look at the Lakers franchise when LeBron retires potentially and say, oh, he could be the guy bringing in the next Anthony Davis to play alongside him.
Right.
And keep this thing going for a while.
I totally agree with you, Dave. You can kind of see the future. Hey, we're talking to Dave McMenamin, and he's in Orlando. Dave, last thing for me, Nikola Jokic got it going last night. Yeah, the Lakers did a good job, both in the regular season and game one, of kind of keeping him at bay. Last night, he had 30 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists in game two, and was great down the stretch. What adjustments do you think the Lakers try to make to slow down Jokic in game three?
I'd like to see more Dwight Howard. I felt like when Dwight was getting his minutes in the first half, he was being a disruptor. He was, you know, getting under Jokic's skin a little bit, certainly changing up the flow and the rhythm that he was playing with. And Anthony Davis is a wonderful individual defender, but Anthony Davis got taken advantage of late in game two. Now, it doesn't mean that that won't wake him up and Anthony Davis will lock in even more so, and that could be your solution in game three. But to me, there's been some success with Dwight against Jokic so far in this series. And you know, Dwight wants that challenge. He told us before the series began that, like, I really love playing against Jokic. I get up for it. Let him do it, you know?
Yeah.
In the Houston series, it was Markieff Morris, the guy, changing things around. And, you know, they found a matchup that worked. Well, maybe Dwight is going to be the guy for the rest of this series, because as skilled as Jokic is, Dwight is still a physical specimen, and I think his physicality has an effect on the way he plays.
Dave McMenamin with us from Orlando, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. So last thing for you. You think it's a sweep, or do you think the Lakers win in five?
Oh,
do you like the way I phrased that, Dave? I gave you sort of no
Dave, I picked Lakers in six, and I'm sticking with it.
That's where I'm going to be, John. Not to, like, be a prisoner to my prediction. I'll be a prisoner to my own self-interest. I would like the series to still be going when I get out of quarantine so I could cover the end of it.
Yeah, there you go.
So it has to go at least five, right? It has to go at least five if I get out next Saturday, which would be day of game five. So,
what do you do in quarantine?
What
do you do in quarantine?
Honestly,
watch TV?
Like, drop off food at the door.
Yeah.
I've been overeating, but fortunately I got a little exercise bike in my room, so
wow.
I'm a little working out. And
nice.
Yeah, we got a lot of stories we're trying to work on to you know, give them attention when the finals begin and the conference finals continue. So working on some stuff on in that realm too.
All right, cool. Hey, listen, Dave, thanks a lot for coming up.
Dave.
We wish you best of luck during quarantine.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey. Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, it's a weird thing. I listened to him on Windhorse podcast today, and he said there's like a second bubble and then an inner bubble. So he has to quarantine for 7 days to get into the inner bubble, which allows him to get closer to the court and be able to do post-game interviews from distance and all that kind of stuff. So Dave McMenamin working his way into the heart of the bubble.
Yeah, there's a lot of protocols. It's working, though. I'm not going to criticize the protocols. It's working.
It is absolutely working. By the way, it seems to be working for everybody.
So far,
the
so
NFL,
good.
Yeah. We've seen no outbreaks. I just saw Gary Bettman. They never had a positive test in the NHL. They're going to the finals now. Never had a positive test the entire time. The NFL has been very, very clean. Very few cases of COVID. There have been no more outbreaks in Major League Baseball. So all of a sudden, it seems like this has become manageable, and it seems like we should be moving towards the Pac-12 playing, don't you think?
Yeah, I think, and I think we're going to get them. I think we're going to get them in October or November. Hey, coming up, let's talk about the Rams. We haven't talked enough about the Rams here. They looked really good yesterday.
Really good, really good. They're back. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, what is going on? It's Monday. Thank you very much for being out there. We appreciate it. Let you know that coming up at 5 o'clock today, Jeannie Buss will join George and LZ for an exclusive interview. We got that coming up for you a little bit later on. John, the Rams handled the Eagles 37-19. I said all along this is a 10-6 team. Jared Goff, Tyler Higbee hooked up on 3 touchdown passes. Goff was fantastic in this game. And really, and through 2 games, has failed to make a mistake. Has successfully avoided mistakes.
Yeah, I thought the Rams looked great yesterday, and I would like to make an amendment to my 9-7 prediction.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go 11-5.
Now, 11-5?
Stay with me here, okay?
Yeah.
I had these first 2 games both as losses.
Okay.
So I'm now flipping. Remember, I had them 9-7.
Yes.
I'm flipping those to the win column, and I'm not changing on anything else. Except I could see them beating the Niners because the Niners have been devastated by injuries. So they're 2-0 now.
Yep.
Okay. Now they go to Buffalo this week.
That's a really tough game. Yeah, Buffalo's a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, I think that could be a loss. But then, okay, so let's say they drop to 2-1. All right. And I'm not ruling out they could beat Buffalo. Giants at SoFi, they win that. At Washington, Washington's terrible. They win that. So at
that
point,
San Francisco,
they'd
maybe win that.
4-1. Now, if they beat the Niners, 5-1, then they play the Bears. The Bears are 2-0, but they stink. 6-1. Dolphins. That's 7-1 going into the Seattle game.
I love that you've turned over a new leaf and you've come over to the Rams. Are you officially joining the Ramily?
No, because Mace, tonight is the debut.
Yeah.
Of the Death Star.
Oh, the Death Star blows up at the end.
The Death Star takes surge tonight. The Saints come into Las Vegas. They were out all night last night in the few casinos that are open. They were socially distanced till 6 in the morning. And tonight, Derek Carr and the Raiders shock the world and beat the Saints.
Yeah.
Here's what
I say. Drew Brees is Luke Skywalker. He's going to fly right into the Death Star and blow it up. Because that's what happens every time I see that movie. Bang! Goodbye, Death Star.
Yeah, but there is a bunch of death and destruction before it ever gets to that. And tonight, it starts. The Silver and Black, their first home win in Vegas.
I will say this.
On their way to going 16-0.
It does look like a really cool stadium.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, the all-black thing is cool. What I want to know is, how come theirs cost $2 billion and our cost $6
billion. Hey, everything's more expensive in L.A. You know that.
it's like ours must be completely tricked out. Now, this is actually really cool. A week from Friday, me and Ireland are going to get an exclusive tour of SoFi. They're going to show me my seats, which I'm excited about.
Very exciting.
We get a firsthand look at what it looks like inside. Everybody that goes says it'll just blow your mind. It'll just blow your mind. I'm so excited for that. And I'm still hoping that at some point, because we saw some fans yesterday. We saw them in Dallas, I think. We saw them in a number of cities. I think it's a matter of time before we see fans at Rams games. Don't you?
I can't tell. Here's what I don't understand. There are fans in Kansas City.
Yep.
There are some fans in Dallas, right?
Yeah, there were fans in Dallas, 20,000.
No fans at all at SoFi? I mean, is it going to stay that way for the whole season? I don't know. I think you may get to watch a game in that stadium before the year is over.
How great would that be? How great would that be?
So I think you've got an opportunity. By the way, speaking of fans,
can I just do a shout out here for Darrell Henderson?
Yeah,
who was
good.
Fantastic in
and
that
your
game.
Boy Cam Akers went down early. Do we have an update on him?
Cam Akers got hurt. It was Darrell Henderson that stepped up, who was a pick from Memphis a couple of years ago. They spent a third round pick on him, and he looks like he is a horse. He just carried guys down the field. He had a great, great game. And Tyler Higbee, man, they started throwing to the tight end during the last, five, six games last season. Tyler Higbee, he is just absolutely killing it. Three touchdown passes caught by Tyler Higbee yesterday.
That reminds me. You and I should do a fantasy football trade.
Okay.
All right, so here's the trade.
Yep.
You have the Raiders tight end.
Yes.
Who looks like he's pretty good.
He does.
I have the Steelers tight end, who looks like he's pretty good. You hate the Raiders, but you have Big Ben as your quarterback. We should swap tight ends. But you know what?
My tight end's better than your tight end.
No. Well, I'm going to give you that opportunity. Let's see the game tonight. Let's see if your tight end plays better than mine. I have Eric Ebron from the Steelers.
Yeah,
he's pretty good.
Yeah.
If he plays way better, then I won't even ask you to do it. But if they're just the same, like the Rams sort of the tight end.
You know,
Tyler Higbee caught three touchdown passes yesterday.
So you're saying just make a trade for the sake of a trade. By the way, in fantasy, I lost this week to John Ireland.
Yeah, I'm trying to help you. I don't play you again until later in the year.
But
I'll take the Raider off your team.
Mythical money, John. I hit four $3,000 bets.
No, they were all $2,500.
No. We moved them to $3,000. Lindsay said go with an even number, so I upped it to $3,000, right, Lindsay?
In that case.
He did.
Oh, wait a minute. In that case. So you actually bet $12,000 this weekend?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so here's the thing. You had four bets.
Correct.
You hit all four.
Yes.
So you won what?
$12,000.
Okay. Had you put them in a parlay like I always tell you to do, you would have won $132,000, and the mythical money game would be over. You would be so far in front, we'd never catch you. But you refuse to do a parlay. This is an example of why you should
You're
parlay.
You're the parlay king. I'm not the parlay king.
I know,
You're
but
the parlay king.
What I'm telling you is, you felt good about all four, obviously.
Yep.
You hit all four.
Yes.
If you just put them in a parlay.
Right, but if I lose one of those, I lose everything. I bet them individually. John, in Vegas, they see you coming a mile away. There's Captain Parlay. He thinks he's going to win a parlay.
Yeah.
Parlays are sucker bets.
I had like
bets.
Seven parlays last year.
Parlays are sucker bets.
Oh, you'll see it.
And
end.
You're a sucker.
I don't dispute that. But I will. Lindsay, have you even totaled up what the Mythical Money standings are?
I did it last week. Let me check it right now.
I made an adjustment.
I haven't done it
Ireland
since.
157, Mason 152, Lindsay 145, and Jorge 114.5.
Okay, so you and I are basically tied. We're 5,000
yeah.
apart. I'm gonna do a bunch of parlays. You're not going to do any. And
Correct.
Let's see who wins at the end.
Okay, let's see who. May the best gambler win.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay's been sitting on a bunch of stuff she wants to throw at us. That's coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here we go. It is time for Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff for us. Lindsay, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to start with our good friend LeBron James and his son, Bronny, who's building his own legacy on the basketball court, but the high school athlete has found himself in the spotlight for a different reason. In a now viral clip, the 15-year-old point guard is seen smoking what appears to be a blunt on his Instagram stories. While the video has been removed from his account, screenshots have spread like wildfire on social media. Now, teens are known to experiment, and being the son of a famous athlete doesn't change that. Can we just chalk this up to a teenager being a teenager? Swipe left or swipe right?
This is a tough one because I never, ever talk about players' kids. Yeah. I will just say that I'm uncomfortable with the question, and yeah, it's a teenager being a teenager. Swipe right.
I am going to swipe right also. Who among us has not? And by the way, kids, you know, 16-year-olds, no. Should not be smoking weed. Just shouldn't be. And if, in fact, that is what it is, I'm sure LeBron is going to have a conversation. But in the end, who among us did not smoke a blunt when we were 16 years old? I just didn't put it on social media. Which didn't
exist. But we didn't have social media.
Correct.
Yeah, so.
But I would never put myself. It's like Laramie Tunsil putting himself on. It's just a mistake. I mean, I don't care that you did it. It's a mistaken judgment to put it out there for the world to judge. So I think it's a kid mistake. I chalk it up to that. A little smarter on social media, but this is by no means a terrible event in the life of Bronny.
I could not agree with you guys both more. I think, you know, kids being kids, let it go. No
kids being kids, exactly.
All right, moving on here. The highly anticipated Mike Tyson biopic is set to star Jamie Foxx as the boxing champion. And while many are excited to see Tyson's life story play out on the big screen, his first wife, Robin Givens, is not. According to Page Six, Givens' attorney sent Tyson and Foxx a cease and desist letter last month to prevent them from portraying Ms. Givens in a, quote, false, negative, and defamatory light, unquote. In an interview back in July, Givens admitted that she doesn't want to be portrayed or referenced in the film, particularly due to the alleged domestic abuse she endured during the marriage. So then Tyson's rep came back and told Page Six that there's no intention of including his relationship with her in the biopic. Huh. Can a truly authentic Mike Tyson biopic really be made without including his very public marriage at the height of his career? Swipe left or swipe right?
It's a great question.
Huh.
I would have to read the script, Mace, because Mike Tyson, there's a lot of different directions you could go here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for example, all these biopics that have been done recently, like about Freddie Mercury and Elton John, and there's one coming out about Elvis, and I'm sure one's coming down the pike about
Sinatra. One's
coming out
about Aretha Franklin. I mean, there are a lot of these biopics.
Madonna's producing one. I mean, probably one of the toughest things is there's so much stuff. What do you put in and what do you take out? I'd have to see the script to see what direction they're going. It'd be hard to do a movie about Mike Tyson and never mention Robin Givens, but I think you could do it.
I'll swipe right. I think you can do it. It's not a complete story, but there are so many incidents in Mike Tyson's life, whether it's, the rape, of Desiree Washington, sexual assault there. There's the championships, there's the ear biting, there's the pet tiger. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff to fill up a Mike Tyson biopic. So I will say you can do it without Robin Givens. Better with. And I don't know, maybe she owns her life rights and she has the opportunity to prevent this from being made. But I think you can make it without Robin Givens.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if I've ever told you guys a story. So one day I'm working a game in Miami.
Yep.
I was a sideline reporter and the producer says, "Hey, Mike Tyson's down in the front row. Why don't you go see if he'll talk to you?" And, you know, Tyson Mace had a history like you of being bipolar.
Yes.
And I said, "Oh, I'll take a shot." I go, hey, Mike, I'm with Lakers TV. Can I come back and visit with you for 1 minute when we come back to this commercial? He goes, yeah, sure. So we come back. He could not have been nicer. Huh. He was bordering on shy.
Really?
Like, it was hard for me to get him to talk. Mike, who do you look most forward to seeing when you get great seats like this at a game? And he goes, Shaq. I think Shaq's the greatest. I'd like to meet him maybe after the game.
So he was very golly gee about it.
Oh, yeah. Like, couldn't have been nicer. He's going to be a complicated guy to pin down in a biopic. Jamie Foxx, I think, is a good choice, though. Jamie Foxx basically channeled Ray Charles. Maybe he can do it for Mike Tyson.
I'll tell you what. I'm just looking at images of Mike Tyson. He makes that face tattoo work. Not everybody can make a face tattoo work, but Mike Tyson does. He looks good in that face tattoo.
All right, right now.
Yeah.
I'll give you $10,000 real.
Yes.
If you get a face tattoo.
$10,000 real.
Real dollars.
I'd do it.
If you get a face tattoo, but it has to be just as big as Tyson's.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, just never. Not just, I can't have one just as big as Tyson's.
I get one. It has to be as big as, you can pick what it is. It doesn't have to be the exact one, but the size has to be the same.
No, I would be a lunatic. I'm not doing that for $10,000. I'll put a small one on there for $5,000.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Then
I'm negotiating.
You'll put one, Mace.
Yeah, a teardrop. I want a teardrop.
No, Mace, you'll put one like Lisa did. It's barely a tattoo.
My wife. It's just skin-colored, tattoo like Lisa has.
My wife tricked Mason once. She said, Mace goes, I'm getting a tattoo. And Lisa goes, I've always wanted to get one. I'll go with you so you don't have to go by yourself. And the short story is that Lisa was out of the chair before Mason's was even like a fifth of the way done.
Oh.
And so all Lisa did was sit there and drink while you had to go endure the pain of getting a
real tattoo.
And by the
way, anybody who says that tattoos don't hurt is lying. That hurt like crazy. And you know what's weird? I often think I should get another tattoo.
I agree.
I think after you get one, it becomes sort of, he looks lonely.
Yeah, like
the tattoo looks lonely.
Well, then you become Bergman. Bergman's got like 9 tattoos, and I don't know why he just like started.
But
as
long as they mean something, I think it's totally good. As long as tattoos mean something, I'm for them. Yes,
if the Rams win the Super Bowl, would you get the new logo tattooed on you?
The D head logo?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, where?
Book it.
right next to my other tattoo.
Wow.
On my chest.
Yeah, so they can be friends.
Yeah. Go Rams.
If that happens, I bet you we can get Eric Dickerson on the show. That'd be great.
We're going to have to ask or tell Sean McVay about it on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Sean
we'll
will love
see
that.
See what McVay thinks.
He'll love that.
That'd be good.
Lynn,
all right,
you have
last
else?
Story here.
Yeah.
A Florida dad is fuming after his son's school deemed the kid's mask offensive. The principal of Sunset Park Elementary in Windermere, Florida, forced the 11-year-old boy to take off his Hooters restaurant-themed mask after being alerted to the face covering by a teacher. The fifth grader's father said there's nothing offensive about a restaurant. Should the 11-year-old be allowed to wear his Hooters-themed mask to school? Swipe left or swipe right?
Another excellent question.
Yeah, this is a really tough one. How offensive
is grade?
Hooters?
What grade, Lindsay?
Fifth grade.
Oh, that's too young.
Wait a minute. I don't understand how that's offensive. John, what do you think?
I have no problem with the Hooters mask.
It's just the Hooters logo printed on there, repetitively in like a regular old fabric mask. There is nothing sexual or offensive about it.
It's not the owl, as I was thinking.
No.
It's just the word Hooters.
Yeah, it's the word Hooters. No, I mean, I think fifth grader, I don't know. That just doesn't feel right to me. The whole concept of Hooters doesn't feel right to me. It is like, at its heart, it's a misogynistic enterprise.
I was just going to ask, has Hooters survived the pandemic? Is it still like open and running? And
I drove by
around,
one in Santa Monica. I saw the one in Santa Monica. It's still there. And by the way, regardless of waitresses and all that stuff, they do great wings. I mean, I've picked up wings there. They do great wings.
They have great food. I love their food. I was a Hooters girl. That was like my first job, one of my first jobs ever.
Excellent.
And I loved working there. It was a great job. I made great money. Nobody was, extremely
right.
weird. I mean, it's
Lindsay,
just like a lot of the guys that people worry about there are just like creepy, lonely guys that just,
Lindsay,
you find
honest
at any
answer,
bar.
Honest answer to this question. Do you still have the orange dolphin shorts?
Yeah, I still have a whole bunch of my uniforms.
because
I sold some of them on
I was just going to bring this up. Yeah, I heard there is a market for people willing to pay for old Hooters uniforms. So you should
look
into
it. Oh, yeah, there definitely is.
You've already cashed in on it. Okay, there you
go. Yeah, I sold a couple of them, but I have a few that I've kept around, you know, just in case I want to be Hooters girl again someday.
Oh, there you go.
Someday, working your way up. All right, Linz, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Coming up next for you, the big shot last night in Orlando.
Yeah!
Anthony Davis drains a game-winning three. We will let you know how John Ireland called it and go inside that shot coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.